The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. This program will take you behind the scenes and deepen your understanding about the patterns and perspectives of leadership today. Now, here's your host, John Schmidt.
Well, hello. Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of Zoomed Leadership. I am your host, John Schmidt. And again today, as I have been doing every week since we started this show, I'm going to be helping take us out to the big picture, into the up close and personal, and toward a world of desirable futures, of course, those rich with the essence of constant renewal. As always, great to be back. Love to be live on Mondays, and I know many of you are still digging out of the record snows over the weekend here in the mid-Atlantic U.S., and more importantly, I think many of you are going to be happy to get power back if you haven't, and those that have are really delighted in it. As a friend of mine said who lives in D.C. over the weekend, she had a teeth-chattering 38 degrees in her home. And with that, I think a level of energy and focus that must be on keeping warmth going and hot drinks and keeping the basics alive and not necessarily on the big picture or on the future as we've been considering and talking about here on Zoomed. So as we get started today, I thought perhaps let's go warm things up a little bit and warm up kind of the through lines, the conversation, perhaps even begin with a few headlines. I have cherry-picked a few things from the Arlington Institute Future Edition newsletter, which if you haven't seen it, you need to go take a look. It is rich and alive monthly with it. But let me give you a quick three of them and a lead-in to the show. And I'm going to start off with the first three that really are a continuation of our threads of the three E's, the economy, energy, and the environment. So first, on the economy, headline, the IMF and the World Bank warn of a double-dip recession in 2010. And that's largely due to a hundred or so asset or debt bubbles around the globe that could burst. And as they say, the foundation for the recovery is fragile. I think we've been hearing that in other quarters over recent shows. The second, on energy, and I think you're really going to like this one. We've often been introduced to the car of tomorrow, but get this. One company, it's called River Simple, is creating a car that gets 300 miles per gallon, emissions that are a third of the most efficient gas-operated vehicles we have today, and the potential to be 10 times cleaner still with the nature of renewable energy as its source. It is a hydrogen fuel cell powered car, but perhaps, and this is what got my attention, more importantly, it's built on a business model based on open source licensing that we have certainly been talking about. And this allows people to freely build on the ideas, the designs, speeds up innovation, begins to meet the needs of people more broadly and at large through this open source way. Fascinating to see this really emerging, and I have to say it's a business model that challenges the very architecture of the auto industry and the system structure at play. Certainly something to pay attention to. And third, on the environment, perhaps two contrasting perspectives, one of which we've already heard about and been watching, the IPCC, the Climate Change Authority, admitting to the mistake that the glaciers in the Himalayas will be gone in 25 years, and further it reports that it was not necessarily an accident that there was no data to back it up. But in contrast, I think an interesting one, a new 3D study on Pine Island Glacier at the end of the Antarctic ice sheet. It shows, in contrast to the study that we're just talking about with IPCC, that we have, in fact, likely reached a tipping point, and we're on track to lose 50% of the ice there in as little as 100 years, again, raising the global sea levels. So those three, as a mixture of our three E's, I think give us some continuity, warm us back up to the conversation, and I think one that is a good one to lead into our guest today regarding trends in government. And I like this one. This one really caught my attention. It's an op-ed piece, a commentary from the United Press International that will really kind of get us into the mood here. We're now saddled. This is a quote. We are now saddled with a dysfunctional system of government that raises the key question of the 21st century. Have we allowed ourselves to become ungovernable with a Congress that seems prone to micromanage everything into unworkable policies, courtesy of a system that has moved from no child left behind to no lobbyist left behind? Breakdowns, breakthroughs, surprises, all of these into scenarios, transition to the future. These are the themes that we've been talking about. These are the themes that we're continuing today. These are the themes that are at the leading edge of our attentions. And today, joining us again is a man who's been swimming in this awareness and this conversation for many of the many moons, one of the world's most well-informed futurists, president and founder of Arlington Institute and the Future Edition that I mentioned earlier, author of Vision for 2012, several other books. My guest is John Peterson, and John joined us for our opening show, our launch of Zoomed last year, some 35 shows or so, and John was kind enough to allow me to get sea legs on the show. John, great to have you back with us.
It's nice to be back, John.
Great. Well, I know we've already talked a little bit about the snow, John, and the break coming in, so I'd rather get to the guests and what we have going on or get to the conversation here, but part of what I really liked in the last Future Edition and in our conversations, and I know about your experience, John, as you've been in and around Washington, in and around political campaigns, I think intimately involved in more than one, and you've had a good inside look at both the governable and the ungovernable notions that I was just mentioning. So maybe kick us off. What's your sense of where we are now and more particularly about where is President Obama and the administration?
I like the idea of no lobbyists left behind. That's quite nice. And certainly characterizes Washington as many of us have come to know it. That really does seem to be the problem, is that the trends are all moving toward rather than solidifying around becoming more efficient, they're fragmenting to where there's no effective movement in any significant direction, because everybody needs to be taken care of in the process, whether it's unions or other kind of special interests, and I wonder, kind of almost in biological evolutionary terms, whether there is an analog over in biology about how organisms evolve, because I wonder if you get to a place like this where things become very fragmented and seemingly very complex, and that increasing complexity sets up in a possibility that things come together in ways that you wouldn't have seen otherwise. But the point to this all, of course, is that we're going through this kind of amazing, epical, unprecedented kind of transition into a period that's going to be a new world, it seems to me, in many, many different ways. And the natural inclination from about everybody that has any kind of an impact or involvement in this at a high level is to try to keep the old system afloat. And rather than considering the possibility that you're on the edge of an extraordinary kind of historical change, and that there's so much stuff in play heading in a new direction that you never, never could turn it around or take it back to where it was, not understanding that amazing amounts of money and effort and time go into trying to keep the old system alive. And what we have to do here, I think, if you're going to be enlightened about all this, is at least entertain the possibility that this is going in a new direction and it's going to take a new shape and it's going to operate in a new way. And so you ask about President Obama, and my feeling is that his imperative, as is all of ours, we talked about this a little bit last time I was on your show, is to transcend this whole kind of process and problem that we have here. You can't deal with these problems down in the dirt, down in the gutter, down in the middle of them. What you have to do is essentially jump up above the fray to a new level and to a new playing field and a new set of rules, and define that yourself and cause and encourage the rest of the activity to come up and meet you. And I think that's about the only way, in the light of all of the lobbyists and the other kind of competing interests, all of whom bring money and all of whom bring threats and all other kinds of things in the present situation, is that what we've got to do and what the president has to do is get up above all of this. He has to invent a new game. He has to, in much the same way, I suppose you could say, in somewhat simplistic terms, of the way John Kennedy stood up and said, "We're going to go to the moon." Well, he kind of put everything on a whole new track in a new way. And my guess is, and I feel rather strongly about this, that if you do that, if our president would stand up and say, "Hey, listen, let me tell you where we're going," and follow me, that it would be amazing the amount of support that he'd get, because there are millions of people in this country who, like you and I, and probably a good number of those who are listening to this program, who have a deep resonance with the notion that we've got to do something differently, and we can't just try to fix up and patch up the present system.
Well, John, we got about 90 seconds or so until we get to a break, and I think this is a good start. But I'm curious, because of your sense of President Obama, my sense is he had the capacity, and with the change message and where he was coming in, that he would that's where he would be. Do you think that he's there, and this is the challenge is the old way, given the administration and those that are kind of in the government itself?
Oh, very much so. I mean, this man can't do the job by himself. He's absolutely dependent upon advisors and staff, and they all come from the system that produced the problems. They have experience, and they get through the Congress because they've been in government before, and so the system produces its own people who think the same way, and they're a product of the process, and so. And that's a problem for the president, because he's got to find some people who think differently but still have the capacity to manage that they're pieces of the government, or be sophisticated about how you get through this whole thing from a bureaucratic point of view and a political point of view.
So it feels to me this is a pretty challenging place to be for any individual in that role, John, that simultaneously you're getting to that higher level, but at the same time you got to foot back with the players who are on the dance floor in the fragmentation, really sort of in the fray itself and the push and pull on that. But let's continue this, John. We're going to take a short break here. And listeners, our title of the show today, Architecture for Transition. We're starting with a broad sense orientation to leadership and to President Obama. We'll continue with this in terms of the piece parts, get a sense of the extraordinary nature of the change, the transition, how to think about it. That's where we go when we come back. Take a break. Join us again.
When it comes to business,
you'll find the experts here.
Voice America Business Network. The world is in flux, primed for a great transition, possibly an epical one. How does it impact you? Does it reshape the questions you ask? The way you view leadership? Today's complexities and challenges call for new realms of leadership. The world needs resilience and adaptability, new levels of innovation and brilliance. At Avastone Consulting, we know that our times call for shifts of mind. How do we cultivate real shifts of mind in our leaders? Not through conventional development, which focuses on gaining skills and knowledge within an established worldview. Shifts of mind truly expand the worldview itself, enlarge the capacity to see through new eyes, and transform interpretations of reality and the actions that accompany them. Those who embrace shifts of mind are the kind of leaders that Avastone helps to build. Change the way you pursue the future. Call Avastone Consulting at 1-678-461-8888. That's 1-678-461-8880. Or visit avastoneconsulting.com. Avastone Consulting, your source for leadership development, working with complex organizations toward evolutionary shifts of mind. There's a course offered on Seventh Wave Network that you never saw offered in college. One that provides information on how to transform ancient wisdom teachings into everyday life. You'll learn how to create from your spirit and explore the world with all of your senses. Participation is encouraged. Enroll in Spirituality 101, the course you can't afford to miss, with your host, Reverend Norma. Class is in session every Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time, in your favorite classroom, Seventh Wave Network.
It's all Arizona, all over the world. If you're a local Arizona high school sports fan, or if you're a transplanted fan somewhere else in the world, have we got a show for you. The first internet sports radio talk show focusing solely on high school sports is The Coach's Corner with Scott Lovely. Tune in to talk about your favorite teams, players, or coaches. It's 100% Arizona high school sports coverage and a little bit more. Tune in Mondays at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern, to the Voice America Sports Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back on Zoomed here on this Monday. John Peterson, our guest. John's book, again, to recall, Vision for 2012, Planning for Extraordinary Change. I think it's a great read. You need to be able to have that in your bailiwick of your thinking as we go into this period, into this transition. I really encourage you to take a look at that. But let me just, John, continue with this. We started, I think, frame up this background perspective with President Obama really representing the leadership, the positional leadership that can get this going. But the nature, the architecture of transition, and maybe we can do a parallel on this about what's involved and what the leadership might be doing with this, because we had about 50 or 60 people that met with you back in December to really engage in sort of the process of this thinking. But let's kick it off, John, thinking about that in terms of President Obama, the form of thinking and the challenges up on the balcony, but dealing with a foot back down to the dance floor, it's a challenging one.
It is in kind of structural as well as kind of psychological terms. In psychological terms, it should be quite obvious that most people do not deal with change very well. All of our institutions, our organizations, corporations, in fact, the principal kind of objective of a corporation is to try to get some predictability of what the future is going to be, and some continuity so that they can plan for that, so that they can take advantage of it. And the government, of course, has bureaucratic kind of problems with trying to deal with change and so on, and it's exacerbated by the fact that you have all these competing interests, and they all want things the way they were, or if they want any change, they want some change that biases it towards them. So any attempt to try to make large, deep, systemic change is just fraught with problems. And that's a huge kind of understatement. If anybody who's spent any kind of time in the White House or like I have or in the government realizes, and it's particularly my experience in DOD, it's just amazingly complex with so many competing interests. And so the role of a real leader, and particularly at one of these kind of hinge times in history, is to have someone like Obama has to have an amazing amount of confidence in their concepts and their ideas. They have to have some clarity about who they are and what their role is in this period of time, and a real clarity about what their objective is and what their vision is, and just believe in it immensely, and just be so convinced of the essence and the credibility and the importance of the vision that no one can push them off to the side, and that they in fact mobilize and encourage everybody down below them, and that's our system does not produce very many people like that. If I had to guess, I'd say that Obama has the potential of doing that, but he's surrounded by people who are going to tell him about why it can't work and what's the problems and why politically that's not, and geopolitically and on and on, economically.
And risk as opposed to vision focus,
yeah,
is really
exactly
what I'm saying, yeah.
Exactly. So it's an extraordinary time for amazing kind of leadership and vision, because that's what it takes to move you from one state to another one. And some good CEOs, certainly in history we've had CEOs who understand that. But frankly, and I've spent some time looking at this, the only way they're successful is if there is an extraordinary urgency to change. And that everybody on their staff, that themselves, and they produce an urgency within the organization, so that everybody, the senior people all the way down, understand that if they don't move, they've got a real big personal problem in some way or another. And it's hard to do that in a big government. And so I really don't know how it gets pulled off. I'm really quite convinced it's possible. Because I think that times like this, I think this is an evolutionary punctuation in the kind of the process, the evolutionary process of humanity, of our species. And what I think is that new things, that the solutions to the problem show up if you engage the process and the system appropriately. And so I think that he'd be amazingly surprised how things would reconfigure themselves to support him. But it takes a lot of guts and a big vision and an amazing sense of self-confidence to stand up and make this thing go.
And to your psychological factors, it's a tough one, too, because if it's in an urgency situation, people are also then getting reactive, where they're getting sort of contracted, they're sort of pulling back in, and they're wanting to be self-protective. So on one hand, the vision actually enlarges the view, but the urgency, John, starts to pull it back into the risks and the way people pull back in.
Okay.
So it's a really difficult push-pull on
this. You have to be a cheerleader. I heard somebody suggest to me that characterize a certain CEO rather negatively, saying he was a cheerleader. And I think that's a very, very positive, important thing to be here. You have got to, in this kind of a situation, you have got to communicate to a whole lot of people who otherwise would feel very uncertain and unstable and uneasy with the uncertainty there's a vision down here, and there's an option, and we can do this, and there's a way to get from here to there. And there aren't a lot of people who know how to do that well.
Yeah, I think that's right. It's a challenging time. And with that, John, when we were back in December, we were really engaging in this way, not with sort of the political view of how we might do that from an Obama standpoint, but clearly from sort of our own leadership perspective. We're thinking about the nature of these breakdowns, breakthroughs, the shocks, the nature of the surprises that come together and the shocks and varying scenarios. Maybe sort of point to the background thinking under this too, John, that can help inform a President Obama or those out there trying to influence this larger view up to the balcony.
Well, you cannot provide this kind of leadership if you do not have a really tight, very credible vision. And if you don't have, and that vision has got to be credible. If people don't look at it and immediately say, yeah, that's possible, I can get there from here, then you're making yourself more problems than you already have. And in order to have that credibility, you have to understand how the system, the underlying system works. And whether this is intuitive or explicit, somehow you have to understand the architecture of the system and how it works, and how this in terms that we did in this workshop in December, what's the architecture of the transition? What are the different pieces that are in play, and how might they come together, and what are the kind of possibilities that could come out of those? And it's this understanding the landscape, the map that's out in front of you of the path, the potential paths that are out in front of you, that gives one, it seems to me, the structure, the intellectual and the credit, integrity of the ideas and so on, that allow you to stand up and say, yeah, we can get from here to there, and I have a good idea how we can do that, you've pushed away all of the concerns of people. When somebody says, "Oh, you can't do that," what about this? You can immediately say, "Well, I've thought about that, and here's how that could work out," and so on. But if you don't have that, if you don't have this basic understanding of the system and the possibilities, I mean, I'm making an argument for future studies here, is that if you don't have a systematic way to build alternative futures and think about alternative futures and scenarios, then you're just flying blind. Then it's your guess as good as anybody else's guess, and that's hard to convince somebody that they ought to, other than by fear, to convince somebody that they ought to be doing what you want them to do if you're the leader, if you don't have a tight kind of achievable and obvious kind of solution.
And John, we've only got about 90 seconds on this segment to break, but I know there's futures work being done, and I've certainly heard about it through you and others, being done in varying departments, different sense of the government and so forth. But is this happening with any degree of comprehensiveness about alternative futures and how that might guide what we're really doing?
I don't think so. We helped the government of Singapore put together a national surprise anticipation center, and that, as best we understand, was the only one of its kind in the world. There might be some secretive things somewhere down in some parts of the U.S. government that are trying to think about some of these things, but I don't think there's any comprehensive attempt to try to systematically build pictures about what's alternatively on the horizon and kind of map the horizon. No, I don't think so. It's just really hard, and the bureaucracy and the competing interests all get in the way.
Well, I think maybe, John, that's where we can begin to think a little bit more about this. I mean, on one hand, if it's not happening there, there's a void for this, and then it has to be filled or can be filled by a mixture of people across segments of society filling that. And maybe we can, as we get into the next segment, we're winding down on this one, but get into the next segment to get a sense of the nature and the process that might be possible for engaging the vision of what this moral worldview of the new future might look like, built upon recognition of a new world, a new human, and new vision as you're describing. It's central to it. If it's not happening in government, we'd love to see Obama do that, but let's drop this also down in parallel to Obama and to those of us in the world that can engage in how this might be pulled together even beyond that. That's our conversation. That's the next segment with John here. Let's take a short break on Zoomed. I'm John. John Peterson with us today. Come on right back.
Stocks, bonds, investment opportunities, financial news, and talk. We can help. Call us now toll-free, 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network. The world is in flux, primed for a great transition, possibly an epical one. How does it impact you? Does it reshape the questions you ask? The way you view leadership. Today's complexities and challenges call for new realms of leadership. The world needs resilience and adaptability, new levels of innovation and brilliance. At Avastone Consulting, we know that our times call for shifts of mind. How do we cultivate real shifts of mind in our leaders? Not through conventional development, which focuses on gaining skills and knowledge within an established worldview. Shifts of mind truly expand the worldview itself, enlarge the capacity to see through new eyes, and transform interpretations of reality and the actions that accompany them. Those who embrace shifts of mind are the kind of leaders that Avastone helps to build. Change the way you pursue the future. Call Avastone Consulting at 1-678-461-8888. That's 1-678-461-8880. Or visit avastoneconsulting.com. Avastone Consulting, your source for leadership development, working with complex organizations toward evolutionary shifts of mind.
Stop wasting time. Get what you want. Live your dream life. The Dream Big Revolution. Imagine having more freedom, better health, more money, happiness. Could your business be more successful? Unless you're living the life you want, you're wasting precious time. Your life is too valuable to waste. Let Leanne Hilgers help you find health, wealth, and happiness. Listen in and live your dream life. Join the Dream Big Revolution. Tune in every Tuesday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Seventh Wave Network.
Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio. Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
These days, everyone is looking for information on staying young, healthy.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, back today, John Peterson, our guest, architecture of transition, our general orientation, and where we left it last time was talking about the role of leadership in providing this view, this larger vision, and the nature of future studies, the underpinning alternative futures, the way this comes together with a dynamic and a realm of possibility for engaging the future. John, let's take that a little bit further. I was just talking about the process of this and the vision aspect and building this, and I know you've had a through line with the Institute about special projects, whether it's the problems in the world or different things, but one has had to do about this nature of a vision, a new world vision. Maybe we can kind of bridge a little bit from where we've been in our conversation and get a little bit into that and how that might actually be done.
Well, it's an interesting issue because, at least as I look at all this big transition, what I have to do is constantly remind myself to stay open to the possibility that this this reconfiguration might happen in a way differently than anything else that we're familiar with. After all, that's the nature of a change of this size. To presume that the change is going to happen in the same way that it's happened in the past is seems to me guarantees you the likelihood of being surprised because of the magnitude of all of this. And so so on one hand, of course, there's an important role for leaders like our president to get in front of this and to try to help change the direction and see the world in a new way. But it seems to me that but on the other hand, and probably more consistent with the underlying kind of nature of this transition, is the likelihood that this kind of sea change is an evolution, is an emergent and an evolutionary one that comes from the bottom up rather than the top down. And so if it comes from the bottom up, and the thing that gives you reason to believe and hope that that would happen is that for the first time in all history, you have an internet. You have this ability to tie most of humanity, or a goodly percent of humanity together in ways that you never have before. It's almost like the evolution of an organism in biology, to where you have all of these cells, these increasingly complex and disparate and distant cells that are all tied together in some intelligent kind of way so that the whole organism can kind of evolve and do things different than it's been in the past. And so the internet is like a global brain, the emergence of a global brain. And what it allows is the possibility that a common vision could be inserted into or emerge out of this internet, kind of this virtual or cyberspace, and that this common idea could, in fact, gather a great deal of attention and a great deal of support and inform all everything else that supports us as we operate in social situations, the economy, the government, and so on. And so the idea that we have is that what we would like to do is seed that kind of vision, that idea of what a new world might look like, into a virtual environment on the internet where large numbers of people can kind of play. In fact, it's a gaming environment, ultimately, to where you throw on the table this kind of idea, this coherent, this well-thought-out kind of, but simplistic, really, idea of how a new world might work. And you kind of hold it up and say, so what do you guys think? And you provide a mechanism, a gaming environment that has some very significant incentives and a lot of fun and so on, that people can compete to throw in new ideas and try new ways and say, nah, it ought to be green instead of blue. And somebody else says, well, no, it ought to be square instead of round. And you say, fine. And you get large numbers of people who all come together in a very enticing and enjoyable kind of environment to try to design what a new world would look like. And so that's our New World Project. And what it is to build the initial vision, get us, you know, a couple dozen really smart people together to try to get the kernel, the initial kind of idea together, with some sense that it's coherent and that it makes some kind of sense, and then throw it on the table, and it becomes a conversation starter. And my guess is if you did that appropriately, that you could start a global conversation around what this new world might look like. And it would be a global conversation that was focused around an initial idea that could evolve into any number of other kind of things and could go quite a different direction. But at least you'd start the conversation in an organized and structured way. And I think that's what's important here.
And John, there's an interesting parallel. You're going back to the biology of this and even going back to the individuals. And, you know, in our last show, we talked about the new world, new human. And the new human, if we look at how the human is developing in a more full, more holistic, more fully realized capacity, not only in the brain, but in other centers of the body, certainly in the heart and then the embodiment of it. But it seems to me what you're describing there is the same thing. And there's the parallel to the individual into the global brain and the way that we're going to harvest thinking that goes beyond just the select few who are sitting in Congress or the lobbyists that are coming through and influencing those to particular ends in a very fragmented way. Seems to me what you're appealing to here is a larger view generated by the perspectives from a wide variety cross-section of society. Seems to me that has immense potential.
Yeah, I think so. And if you want to kind of make it kind of crass and everyday, you can say it's just like trying to build a brand for some kind of a product. I mean, it's like selling Coke or something like that. Is that if you started to put this idea out and allow it, the difference being in this case is that you'd allow it to morph, you'd allow it to change, you would facilitate the emergent process. But if you did that and you hung the right kind of imagery and the right kind of words around it, then the viral marketing, I mean, there are all kinds of tools and approaches around that are really quite well known and becoming even more effective than in the past for distributing this idea very broadly and allowing it to take hold in lots of different kinds of ways and go places you never thought it could go.
And that's the place to me that I think is so intriguing. It's going places you never thought you could go, and you're harvesting ideas that wouldn't necessarily be generated out of the mainstream, out of the forms of thinking, as Einstein said, that led us to what we were. But it's the new thought, new energy, new movement. It seems to me there's some websites out there. I know in the realm of telescopes and looking at the skies and the stars and the way that, I've forgotten the website on that one, but the way that evolved pretty quickly and is actually an interesting metaphor that we're using for the nature of research that can be even done in leadership, it just shows how quickly that they surpassed all their expectations about mapping the cosmos and the astrology or the stars and so forth. They were able to map it and people coming together in a way that far exceeded any expectations in time and possibility in what they've done. And it seems to me that's a parallel here in a very productive, practical way about a transition into a new world.
Absolutely, but you've got to throw us, you know, you can't just get a whole bunch of people together and say, well, what do you think? I mean, that gets you nowhere. That's a good way to start a fight. I mean, what you need to do is have some kernel that you can throw on the, put on the table that is a discussion starter, something that has some credibility and some substance and that, you know, at least is a place that you could start the conversation. And that's why I think that this project, this New World Vision project, is so important, is because if you actively did that and started that conversation and provided the venue, provided the context in which people could really engage and in a very appealing and incentivized way, you could start a change in the world. I mean, you could change the way most of the people on this planet think and who they become and what the world and how the new world evolves.
And what's happening out of that kernel, John, in particular, is that it could be sourced out of a deeper sense of the human condition and the possibilities and the potential, out of a more broad sense of design and those that think in that way. But moreover, your point earlier on in the last segment, which was about really understanding the systems of system, putting this together, I think there's an interesting potential about that, the kernel of what that potential and that possibility might be. But I hear the music in my ears, John. Let's take a short break. Let's come back. Last segment here, John Peterson. We'll bring some of this together and see where the thinking might go to build on to this. I think this is a curious one. It's an evolutionary context, even in our own conversation about this. Join us. Last piece here in just a minute. Thanks.
Yeah.
up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network. The world is in flux, primed for a great transition, possibly an epical one. How does it impact you? Does it reshape the questions you ask? The way you view leadership? Today's complexities and challenges call for new realms of leadership. The world needs resilience and adaptability, new levels of innovation and brilliance. At Avastone Consulting, we know that our times call for shifts of mind. How do we cultivate real shifts of mind in our leaders? Not through conventional development, which focuses on gaining skills and knowledge within an established worldview. Shifts of mind truly expand the worldview itself, enlarge the capacity to see through new eyes, and transform interpretations of reality and the actions that accompany them. Those who embrace shifts of mind are the kind of leaders that Avastone helps to build. Change the way you pursue the future. Call Avastone Consulting at 1-678-461-8880. That's 1-678-461-8880. Or visit avastoneconsulting.com. Avastone Consulting, your source for leadership development, working with complex organizations toward evolutionary shifts of mind. Women in business today face many challenges in advancing their careers and reaching their goals. There are corporate executives, entrepreneurs, and business owners that have made their mark in business. Now you can learn their secrets and tips. Listen to Women Mean Business as your host, Bonnie Marcus, explores how to thrive in the business environment, navigate the workplace, and climb the corporate ladder. Listen live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel and effectively promote yourself today.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're listening to Zoomed Leadership with your host, John Schmidt. For more information about John and our program, visit avastoneconsulting.com. That's A-V-A-S-T-O-N-E consulting.com. Now, back to Zoomed Leadership.
Okay, last segment today. We're here with John Peterson, Arlington Institute. And to follow up on that and to find and get to a future edition, go to arlingtoninstitute.org. That'll help you there. I think you'll find a myriad of resources and much about what we're talking about today. It's certainly at least a thumbnail on it. And John, let's continue with this, because I think what we were talking about over break here is the potentiality of creating a new world vision, and then the nature of the global brain, the way that we can do that, that really connects it, and the social networking aspect of this starts to connect people in ways that really are way beyond anything we've had before in dealing with these kinds of things.
Yeah, well, if you go back to the kind of the biological organism, the evolution of biology, and I guess the imagery that sticks in my mind is that of a child, of the development of a child in the uterus, and how it all begins to multiply geometrically cell by cell by cell, and then it starts to differentiate and become different kinds of cells and stuff. And so what you have here, in larger terms, it seems to me, is that same kind of increasing complexity with different kind of powerful functional kind of capabilities that are emerging out of the system. And as I was saying to you in this snowstorm over the weekend, there at DuPont Circle up in the middle of Washington, D.C., 1,000 people came out to have a snowball fight, a big snowball fight. Had more fun than you know they had in a long time. And they did it all, and it all showed up just very quickly on Facebook and on Twitter that you had, that suddenly they just spread the word all around, and you got large numbers of people who are all focused, coming to a common kind of place and focused on a common objective, in this case, throwing snowballs. But that is a model, it seems to me, for the way in which we as a species are going to approach and address and deal with the underlying kind of problem, the big, you know, intractable problem, seemingly intractable problems that are around this world. And that is clearly the historical kind of the traditional approaches don't work. And so what it looks like is that you can get large numbers of people all coming together to embellish all of their the individual thinking into something that's far richer and more powerful than you otherwise would see.
And John, it's interesting because the through line of part of our conversation on Zoomed has been, I think, somewhat about that, and that it's not locked up then, to your earlier point, about it's not locked up in business and the interest, the way business would define it, and perhaps the narrow interest, nor is it wrapped up in government and what's acceptable, and politically it doesn't have the risks involved in it. But it actually really enables this. This frees it up in some word, and the conversation that has come out with some of our guests is there's a certain degree of sovereignty out of this that's really regained to address these issues and humanity, that it doesn't get locked up in a particular power center, that transcends that in some way. And that's a very freeing sense of potential and possibility, and with the freshness that's really needed here. It's very interesting.
Well, it's very empowering because, as you suggest, what it allows is individuals to contribute to and significantly become involved in large, complex, sophisticated kind of things, and do it on their own, in their own kind of terms. I mean, what's happening here is the disintermediation of these larger kind of systems, and in the same way that you take publishers out of book publishing, and now that anybody can publish anything on the web, and newspapers are failing because now you don't need the newspaper in the middle. And I mean, there's examples everywhere about how this is happening. Well, what you're doing is empowering individuals across the board. And if you allow these empowered individuals all to come together around the framework, the environment, the capability to come together around common interests, then what you've really done is change the tables on this whole thing. And rather than having large institutions like government or big universities or whatever it is that control the agenda and set the resources, what you suddenly have allowed is large numbers of people to come together and do their own thing, quite apart from the larger organizations and structures.
And so, John, that was intentional, actually, at the opening of the show, to pull the example that was in your future edition about the new car manufacturer, the car concept, being open source. And it really appeals to that, being very open, very fluid, boundaryless, being idea-centered as opposed to power-oriented or risk-averse. But it really has a fluidity to it. And that's really a very significant piece to me.
And you get, obviously, as you've suggested, whole new business models that come out of this. If I were going to go into B school, or I was starting much younger than I am, and considering getting into the business, I would spend a lot of time trying to think about and study and see where are these emergent new concepts coming, because and it has interesting implications for the whole notion of leadership, because what in the world, how do you do leadership if you've got all kinds of autonomous, empowered individuals who all can get together however and configure themselves however they want to, regardless of what you as the leader wants them to do, theoretically? I mean, so it really is a very interesting question about there are a lot of moving parts, and they're all changing here, and in a very, very interesting way.
And John, that to me, that's a good part to leave it here, because what you're describing is a shift also away from positional leadership, of which has value, the way Obama is in position to do that. But it's really leadership almost as a verb, the way we individually, anyone can then engage and exercise forms of leadership. And then with that, and I'd even put this as a possibility for our future conversation on a show, and this is part of what Avastone and what we've been involved in, is how do you use this web-based social networking, this integrated technology-based context of the global range of the global world to even support the development of leadership, just like we're talking about, in concert with a new world vision, in concert with the nature of the future and the scenarios. That, to me, is a package that's pretty dynamite, and that's one that perhaps we can even continue as we go.
Very powerful. I agree.
Very powerful. So I think we got about a minute to close here, John. Maybe just turn it back to you for maybe, 30 seconds anyway. What would you want to leave people with today? What's kind of the big news from your mind and just or the thought or question to leave people with?
Well, I guess I come back to this need for not only a new world, as we've been talking about it, but also a new human being. This whole change only happens because individuals see themselves and they see the larger environment and they see their reality in quite different ways. And once you do that, then it provides a different lens from which you make decisions. And so there's a big argument for enlightenment here.
I think that's right, John, and I think that goes to the nature of Zoomed, which is out to the big picture, and it's into the up close and personal, and it is about that deeper sense of personal engagement and who we are, the potential, the enlightenment we are as beings. John, great to have you back here on the show again. Thank you. You kicked it off well. I think today's a wonderful continuation. Thanks for coming on.
Nice to be with you, John.
Okay, thanks, John. Okay, listeners, great to have you back another week here on Zoomed. I point you back, if you're a new listener, to the earlier shows, earlier show in particular with John, the inception show here with Zoomed. I think you'll get some of the larger picture that John even has closed with, the new world, the new human, the nature of that perspective, and certainly that's part of what the simmering is for the conversation. This will continue, and we'll go forward. Next week, we have another continuing piece of the conversation, The Age of the Unthinkable. Joshua Cooper Ramo joins us. Wonderful book from the last year or so. I think it's a rich one to stimulate our conversation and to take this even to further realms that John is talking about, out to the big picture, into the up close and personal. We are architecting a new world, one of constant renewal. Out this week. Enjoy, everyone. Dig out. Stay warm. Talk to you in a week from now. Thanks. John Schmidt out here. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening to Zoomed Leadership with host John Schmidt. Please be sure to join us again next Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. And have a terrific week.